So, hello everyone. I am Irina, and I'm an iOS developer. I am so excited to be invited to this podcast. So it's my first time ever like to be a participant of a podcast. So I have been living in Italy more than 1 year. Here I am participating in the program of Apple Developer Academy, and I'm excited over this journey. Unfortunately, June, yep. It's like it will be the end of the program, and I will look for another stage of my life.
That's a perfect intro. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was so excited to hang out with you because like the last time that we saw each other was in September. And it was you were a podcast friend, like through a podcast friend. And so I thought it was very natural to ask you to hang out with me. And I've been traveling for a bit by myself since you and I hang out. And so I was just really excited to hang out with a friend for 2 hours since I'm here on my own.
Yep, you know, it's I just came back to Naples like maybe less than a week, and we met at on an amazing island, Ischia. And you know, everything in our story is so beautiful, like and then we had a really nice day together,
Yeah.
all of us.
Yeah, all three of us.
You, our podcast friend, also
Oh,
actually. Also, your podcast friend is my flatmate, so
yeah.
it's really a complicated, nice story.
Yeah. And when I met you, that was my first month traveling on my own, actually. So I was gonna test it out for 2 months and then go back to America. And it ended up being really great. So you were a part of that first little chapter for me that might go on for like 3 or 4 years.
Wow. I'm so jealous to you that you are brave to travel alone. I really cannot imagine myself doing this, even if I want to try it. But I really sociable, and I need someone to talk. So, and like I would love to have this experience, and it was. It was such an interesting day to meet you and discuss, you know, that your ideas about traveling, and found out that you are going to Utrecht, where
Yeah.
my friend lives. My best friend lives there. So there are so many coincidences, you know. So
Yeah.
that's why life is so beautiful, because you never know what will happen, whom you will see, whom you will meet. So it's incredible. That's what I love about meeting new people, living my life, that is always like full of, you know, surprises.
The thing that I admire a lot about you, and like I, before people come on, I do a lot of research on them. And so like I was learning about you and I was trying to find as much as I could. And I was so impressed by the amount of travel that you've done in your life. Like the amount of places that you've been, and all of these things that you've done. I admire it so much because I didn't start traveling until I was 19. And that was the first time I even left my country, really. And so it was just such an eye-opening experience in the last couple of years to experience all these different cultures and realize that like my home isn't like the benchmark for normalcy and that there's so many other ways to live life in all these different places.
You know, that's very interesting about traveling. First of all, congratulations that you started traveling. I absolutely agree with you that traveling is the way, you know, to see how other people live, and to really learn about culture. Because reading books, watching movies, it's absolutely different, like to see the reality. And actually, I started traveling when I studied at university. I studied in Moscow, and that time, like tickets of fare was so low that even as a student, you could like it was affordable, you know, to travel. And we started with the short trips, like 4 days. When you go to European country, four, five, 3 days, it was normal even to go there for 2 days. And it's now it sounds crazy for me, but we started that way. And I haven't visited all European countries, but that was a great start for me. And then after so many years, I can say that I am fed up of traveling. I really want to, if I want to travel, I prefer like long trips, at least 3 weeks. Otherwise, I feel tired and empty inside. So, because for me, it's really important to, you know, to create my new routine in a new place. And of course, I try to travel, but not for short trips. Like for example, this new year, my boyfriend and I would travel to Bali, and we stayed there 3 weeks, and that was perfect. It was perfect when you know when you really have time to have a rest, to travel, to enjoy, to have days when you do nothing, because that's what I hate about traveling, when you just, you know, your schedule is full of things. You think, oh, I'm here like once in my life, and I have to go there, eat there, like, and you, at the end of the day, you just feel so tired and exhausted that you that that's what is so annoying for me about traveling. And when you have enough time, like 1 month, you know that you don't have to run everywhere like at once, and that's just much better for me, honestly.
That's actually something that I haven't really heard from other people because I feel the same way. Like I love being in a place for a long period of time so that I can have those just normal days where you go to the grocery store or maybe cleaning up your apartment. Like my favorite thing, some people collect experiences. Like maybe they like to go to an Italian restaurant in like every country that they go to or something like that. Like for me, my favorite thing to do in places is to get my hair cut. Because it's
Wow.
such a normal, not touristy thing to do, and you can actually talk with somebody from that place and like get to know them, and it's really calm and relaxed. And so when you say like, I just like days where I don't do anything and there's not this panic to get everything done, that's my ideal way of traveling.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh my God, you're also the first person who understands me, because usually when you say that you don't like traveling, people, especially like with my list of countries, they say, or you are just like you, I don't know, you lie yourself because you like it, you have traveled a lot. But yeah, at the beginning I was a different person, and I don't know if you have this question in your life when someone comes to you and say, what would you do if you have like a $1 million? Like $1 million, yeah. And I always replied, I would travel. And you know how it happened to me. So, and I answered to this question, I would travel, I would travel, I would travel. And once I woke up and realized, okay, I don't have $1 million, but why I don't travel? Like, why I don't look for ways to travel? And that year I decided, okay, my resolution over here that I will travel every month. I will find short trips, long trips, whatever. I will try to go out of my city. I lived in Moscow that time, and I worked. So, I just realized, okay, I have a 1 year, and I can take days off, vacation, however, like to use their national holidays, but travel. And you know, I have been to Greece, Armenia, some cities in Russia, Italy, Spain, Ireland. So a lot of cities actually, like every month I travel. And like, you know, when this year, like the year of my traveling was over, I breathed and realized I don't
Yeah.
want to travel if I have a $1 million. Because I realize it's the idea of traveling for traveling, it's so strange because you don't get that, like you don't understand the city, you don't understand the country, you just collect stereotypes. Like you come to Italy and you see that everyone drinking Aperol Spritz and you think, wow, this is like this true, people drink Aperol Spritz. And the second that you just have, a list of places where you have been, but you actually don't know enough about these cities. It's just, points, it's just pins on your map. But it's for me, there is no sense in all these places. And so I stopped traveling that crazy and
Yeah.
realized, okay, I should change the way. And since that time, I really choose like long period, one place a year, maybe two. But I really limit myself. And like, I love how you told, like, described it for you is to do a haircut. It's like the perfect understanding that like you live a normal life. So for me, it's absolutely the same. Oh my God, I'm in the crazy because I thought I'm the only one being
Really?
bald. Yeah, because usually, usually, especially if you open Instagram, it seems that everything about traveling, people just want to travel, show new places. And I believe like I don't fit this
Mm-mm.
world, and okay, now I know that I'm not alone.
I'm working on this little video that maybe I'll share with you when it's done. But in this first year of traveling, I've been recording 10-second videos just for myself of like what normal life is like in all these different places that I'm going to. And at the end, I'm gonna make a little compilation of like all these videos that I'm not even really in, but just like the view out of a bus or walking out of my gym or something like that. And so I think that's like a really nice, calm way of like documenting what this experience has been like.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, I really would love to see. Yeah, it's what I believe it's great to do instead of, like rushing with all these trips and cities. So, yep. Wow. Wow. I would love to see. Yeah. I love the idea of, just recording normal stuff.
Yeah. What
Oh.
the first feeling that I had when I left the US for the first time was just it's such a silly thing. Like I went to Canada before that, but I don't really count that as being different than America. We're like siblings. I remember I landed in the Frankfurt airport and I was looking out the window as we were landing and my first thought was like, "Oh my God, this is real." Like it's not just something that I like Europe isn't just something like I see in the news or I hear in stories or like I meet people from there like I can actually be here and it's not just like some fantasy thing. I don't know if that is how you felt the first time you left your home, but like that was how I felt.
That is and you think about that because I'm like from Russia and I lived there in Moscow before coming here, and we don't have this feeling at all because honestly we don't have any cultural shock because Moscow is also in European city with all standards,
Yeah.
and they're like the only difference that like in European cities you see more historical places because the history of a lot of cities are much more longer than in our case, and that's like a cultural like difference. I mean, it's more monuments, architecture, but in general, it's so similar. That's why for us it's no shock. But I would love to see the USA. Canada, whatever. I have never been on that part of our planet. And I would love to see, because I believe that would be my first, shocking experience, as I have, like, as I believe everyone, my whole childhood, I watched the same movies, advertisement. We like when I was a child, I really wanted to go to McDonald's because we didn't have it in my city, but we had it an advertisement on TV. And I really would love to go there. It was my dream. Like, I would love to go to McDonald's. And I was more than 20. Yeah, I was around 20 years old when I came to McDonald's for the first time in my life, when it was open in my city. So I'm originally not from Moscow, and it's like it's a town. The name is Perm. I believe it makes no sense for a lot of people, and that's okay. And in my city, there was no McDonald's. So, yep. And I really would love to see New York, San Francisco, and American general, let's say, because I have seen it only on my TV, like through TV serials, through, let's say, cultural code when you just, but I would love to see, because I'm curious how my stereotypes, how my vision is different from the reality.
The thing that I've heard from my friends that come from other countries and come to the US for the first time, for some reason they keep on saying, this is just like the movies. Like the thing that they're most interested in are like the yellow school buses. and like the suburban neighborhoods and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, please forgive us, but we're full of stereotypes. Yes, I believe we all grew up on the movies about, like, the American Dream and all these yellow buses. Yeah, I would love to have a trip on a yellow bus.
Maybe that'll happen someday.
Let's see. And my actually, perfect trip to the USA is, I believe, quite typical, is to rent, a van and travel through the whole, like the USA, like visit every state, and just be happy about this.
I have one recommendation for if you were to do that. So McDonald's is obviously someplace that you would go, but Cracker Barrel would be another one for you to experience.
What? I've
It's
never heard this.
if you go, it'll just be an experience. Like it's like a southern food that's on every highway in America. It's all over the country. So maybe that would be a cool experience for you as well.
Let's see, because like, I don't know when it happened. I'm just absolutely sure it will happen in my life, but not like, I don't know when. Not this year for sure, because this year, like, I more or less know what I will do. And this would be really great. And before, I even didn't have anyone who I knew in the USA, and now my network is growing and I know some people, so it would be so amazing, to go there to meet them, and maybe to meet you there. Let's see. Let's see.
Would be lovely. I obviously I grew up in Pennsylvania, and my family actually left Italy in 1905 and came to New York. So my whole family, they're like on the East Coast. But I wanted to learn a little bit more about what it was like growing up where you were from.
Wow. So, yep, it's okay. I try to be nice, but so I was born in a city named Perm. It's let's say in the middle of Russia. It's close to Ural Mountains, And I believe all my life I knew that I would move. I didn't
Really?
like my city at all. I remember that I studied at school, and I was 11 years old, and I told my father and mother that, I'm going to live somewhere else. I don't want to live here. I don't like the city. And there, I was really, confident that I would do it. So I never have any doubt about it. Why I am so pessimistic about my city? First of all, it's a very industrial city. Like, there is nothing, just a lot of plants, and that's all.
Like
So,
manufacturing and things like that.
manufacturing, and thanks to that, my family lived there, because most of every member of my family has a degree in chemistry. And my grandfather, he had a PhD in chemistry, and oh my God, almost everyone had a PhD in chemistry in my life, in my family, sorry. And I was supposed also to continue working in this chemistry industry, but I hated chemistry so much, I didn't get anything. I remember that my homework was done by my best friend because I didn't get chemistry at all. I'm embarrassed of that. That's nothing to be proud, about. I just didn't get the whole concept of chemistry. So, and my so my family lived there thanks to that. I didn't like the city at all because it's a really long one. So from and we live at one end, and to go to another part of the city, you need 2 hours.
Really?
And and it's a lot, it's a lot. For example, like my university was 1 hour and a half from my city, from my home, sorry, from my home. So, and like it took me 1 hour and a half to go to the university every day, just in one direction, and 1 hour and a half to go home. So it's really inconvenient for living, and it's a huge city. It's 1 million people live there. But first of all, I didn't know where to work there because it's more or less manufacturing. And especially that time when I was at school, at university, the only thing that I really love about city, it's a region, because it's an incredible, beautiful nature.
Really?
Like if you love to go for any like camping or trekking, it's really a great place. As the whole Russia, honestly, yes. Russia is, it's not cities except several. It's nature, because we don't have a lot of like beautiful cities like Moscow, St. Petersburg, some other that usual people don't know. But in general, the traveling in Russia, I believe it's more about nature, not cities. And at that time, when I was at university, when I was at school, I didn't feel the connection with the city, and I always knew that I would move, and like as soon as I had the possibility, I applied for a master's degree in Moscow, and I moved to Moscow. And there, I felt absolutely happy. It's absolutely my city. Moscow is an amazing city to live. It's so full of everything. Everyone can find something for themselves. It's so different, so huge and beautiful and like full of life. So, but now we all know what's going on. And I mean, now, of course, it's sad because like now it's much more difficult to think about the city and like the life there. But like in general, before the war, before it was a perfect place to live for me. So I was absolutely happy there. I have never thought about any like moving, and I always considered my life there as like that. I would love to live there all my life. So let's see how it will be, because now I don't know. What else about my city? My family lives there. I don't have a huge family. It's just my mother, father, brother, and my grandmother. Anyway, it's always nice to go there and visit them. So, like, usually I go there only to visit my family, not like the city.
The travel attraction is family, not necessarily the things around it.
Absolutely. It's just, and luckily my family lives in a, like, even if it's almost the end of the city, like we have a sign there that the end of the city. But that's really strange. But at the same time, thanks to that, they live next to the river and forest, and there is a beautiful view out of the window. It's just river, and like a long forest. And my mom bought a dog like a year ago, and when I came there to visit her, we went for a long walk all together, and it was such a nice day because like I maybe for the first time I felt nice about the city, where like about the place, because usually I even don't want to go there. I'm like, it's really sad when you live somewhere like the place you don't like. It's really sad, because you don't have a connection. And like that was in my case. So I'm happy that I moved somewhere else, because otherwise I would be really unhappy, sad person, because it's really sad when you don't like the place. Like, it's, the only positive things that happen after that, do you know the program Mirror? It's endless. It's an amazing story. Like, that's what is really impressive for me, that a guy who is from my city, he's a founder of Mirror, and that is, I was shocked to know that. And that's, I believe it. And he had their office in my city, so that was really impressive. When I found out, that I was shocked.
Every once in a while, I had a very similar experience. Maybe it's not the same thing, but there was this graphic designer named Michael Beirut, and
Sorry.
he's like a graphic designer at this really big company in New York, and I like idolized him. I thought he was so cool. I thought he was really neat. He was this really big name. And then I found out that he was from a town that was quite similar to mine. He was from Springfield, Illinois, and I'm from like a very small town in Pennsylvania. And I would listen to interviews from him talking about what it was like growing up, and we had so many similar things. Like he and I both made the cover for the school play. We both did very like similar things, and then he said that he got his start in his career by going to a school that like just had a ton of internships. They would literally encourage you to like stop school for 6 months just so you can do an internship and then come back to school, and then what you learned from the internship, you could now decide what classes you want to take because you know a little bit more about what that kind of job needs.
Wow.
And so I like seeing him come from a town similar to mine and then like do really well in New York and be one of like the biggest people in graphic design ever, really made a big impact on me because I was like, well, if he can do it, then I can do it. So that reminds me of how you're talking about that guy a little
Yeah, I
bit.
mean, yeah, I mean, like, when I think about him, I really love the stories when people not from, not from, let's say, like places where your perspectives are very limited, and when they really do something, when they achieve something impressive, it's always a great story. So yep, I always wanted to, to reach as much as I can in my life, because like, well, it's funny because while I telling to you the story, I feel, oh my God, my childhood was so sad. No, like, I mean, like, it happened like it happened. And I started in a, I also wanted to say that I started in a very bad school. I'm not embarrassed to say it because I believe my classmates, so they don't speak English, they will never hear this and understands what I'm talking about. But my school was really it was a really sad stage for me, because I always believe, like, if I would go to a better school, I would have, I don't know, better education, and everything would go better. So this conditional sense when you feel, oh, but okay, it happened like it happened. And I always wanted to, to have more in my life. So, and yeah, stories like this guy who founded Miro, it's a great example for me that everything is possible. You should just, you should continue working and like in doing it. When I think about myself and that little girl, who studied at that type of school with that type of, possibilities, I am proud of myself how much I did. So, because I just, when I was like 11, 12, 10, I couldn't imagine that I would, for example, live in Italy now, that I have been participating in Apple Developer Academy for 1 year and a half. And I believe that girl would never would never trust me if I said to her, you would do it. She was like, no way. So yep, it's great to hear stories like this. When you know that everything is possible, and you should just do and see what will happen.
How old
I
were
even
you?
have
Oh,
a tattoo with this phrase.
yeah.
But like, yeah, like it's written in Russian that
Yeah.
do what you have to, and let's see what will happen.
I think that's a perfect mindset to have. Because like, what's the worst that could happen? It doesn't work out and you keep on doing what you're doing now? That's not too bad.
And like, you never know what will happen. So you cannot predict. You never know, like, okay, you're working on a project, and then you don't know what will happen with this project. Maybe it will be a new mirror. So maybe, like, you don't know it's at the beginning. And that's why it's really important, to do, then do again, you can, and one day you look at your childhood and think, wow, where I was. So the city where I was born doesn't mean that I will have a particular life. Like,
How
yeah,
old
but
were? Oh, sorry.
sorry.
You go. You go.
You wanted to ask how old I am, and I'm 31 years old.
I wanted to ask, how old were you when you were having these feelings as a kid? Like, I wish I went to a better school. Has my future been decided for me? How old were you?
I believe it was the sixth grade, so it was around like 13, 12, something like
13.
this. Yeah.
That's a scary
So,
feeling to
yeah.
have at 13.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember that our school's psychologists asked us,
Yeah.
like, what would you like to do in your life? And I answered, I would love to study in Oxford. I answered Oxford because it was the only international university I have never known that time. And I was
Yeah.
like, I would love to study in Oxford. And she looked at me like, but do you know that it's impossible? And I that
Really?
day, like, yep. Actually, I haven't studied in Oxford yet, but yet. Let's
Yeah.
see. So, but I always had a dream to live a better life, a different life, like an interesting life. And I felt it inside that I want more than staying there. And I just didn't know how to reach it. So,
Yeah. When.
and by the way, sorry to interrupt you
Go ahead.
again. By the way, that like my biggest value is education, and maybe that's because of my background. I don't know, but I and also my family, because all my like every member of my family has their higher education. And most of them, even with their PhD, I really believe in education. So, and like I studied at the top university of Russia. The name is High School of Economics. I believe it's the best one. So in
Yeah.
Russia, at least. I have a really deep dream to study in a top world educational university like Oxford, Harvard, Stanford, MIT. Where, like, it's still a dream for me. I don't know
Yeah.
how to reach this, but that's one of the biggest dream I ever had. So, and I believe it's, maybe. It's more for that little girl, not for me. For that little girl who was told that it's impossible to study in such, like in university, in top universities. Like, so it's for that little girl, not because of something else.
Were there other moments where you wanted to do something or you wanted to accomplish something, and an adult or some other kid your age told you that was impossible or that you were being silly?
I believe it's quite often, and I think it's because for kind of this limited mindset that other people have in my country, that it's just impossible. So we it's like that's all, and it's quite typical, I would say. But when you hear someone's ideas or even plans, you say, "Oh, it's impossible. You won't succeed." Yeah, I know. Like, now, when I'm thinking about it, I think it's crazy. But unfortunately, yeah, it's even like I told you the example. So it's unfortunately it happens.
What do you think their mindset is in telling a kid that's impossible? Are they trying to not get your hopes up, or do they just not see a potential for you to be able to do that? Like, what do you think they're thinking about?
I think it's a good question, honestly. I have never think about it, and I believe it's just even in my head, I have a lot of limitations. Even after the way I have done, I still think I've sometimes I think and I feel that I have a lot of limitations in my head. I believe it's in general how you consider yourself and the goals you have. I mean, for example, I remember when it because the Russia is a country of space ship, and there like a lot of we are so proud of it, but the first man was from Soviet Union, and when I was a kid, it was so popular, the idea that when I grow up, I would love to be an astronaut. It was so popular. And in the kindergarten, we have that activity where you say it and you draw yourself, and then you put a picture of you, and it was so typical that kids draw astronauts. And but now I realized we never believed that it was possible. We just we think it's something for other people, for better people, for it's for someone else, but not for me. And maybe this is I don't want to blame anyone, but it's someone, better feelings or weight, to say it won't happen, I believe it's just the way people think. When you say that, even now, when I think, if I say everything's possible, how much I really believe in it? So, not for example, let's see. But for example, when I say I want to study at Harvard or Stanford or MIT, I want it. I know this is possible, but I don't know how much it's applied to me, whether I can say it's possible. So you really touched me in my pain, and now I'm thinking that wow, I have never seen this situation from that angle, that we just in general have this mindset.
I've heard a phrase growing up a lot of if there's a will, there's a way. So it's kind of like puts you a little bit more like in the equation. So it's not like, am I the type of person where this would happen to me? Am I going to be chosen? Was I born into the right environment for this to happen to me? Like, it's much more like an individual mindset of like, if there's a will, there's a way. Like, if there's something that I want, in most situations, there is one way to do it. It may be incredibly hard and it may like not happen for most people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that can't happen for me.
Wow, okay, it's another amazing thing that I want to learn from you. Wow, yep, I need to write this and read it every day like loud to remember this, to truly believe in it, because that's that's attitude is much better than the one that I have, because believing in yourself, it's the only thing you can do for yourself. It's the best thing that you can do for yourself, that you like your teacher, your family, okay, they don't, it's their problem, but if you have to believe in yourself, you have to support yourself. You don't need anyone else. Yeah, of course you cannot be so confident when you are a child, That's sad that other people, you know, don't support you as a child. But oh, it's incredible. I like the phrase, like this attitude.
But I also want to like point out that it is a lot harder when you don't have I don't know if that kind of encouragement from the others around you, because I really think that like seeing is believing. And so I have all of these amazing opportunities to hang out with people like through this little podcast that I made, because sometimes I'm like talking with people and in my mind I'm like, this person has always been where they are right now. Like they've always been this successful, they've always been this put together, they've always had their life figured out. And then when you talk to them for 2 hours, like nobody can pretend to be something that they're not for 2 hours. And you start
Yes,
to see that, like,
that's true.
yeah, like some people that you find incredibly accessible, they're like, yeah, I failed out of math for 2 years, or I was totally directionless for 3 years after college. I didn't know what to do. And like people's experiences are so much more human than you'd expect.
Yeah, and you know, I believe that's very important things to talk about, especially to children again, like because you really have to say that life is full of obstacles. Life is hard, and there, but at the same time, life is great. So, and you have to know how to manage all these difficulties. And I absolutely agree with you that this picture of success is, it seems like, okay, this person is so great because he's chosen and like the best, but we never know. We never know, like the shoes, you know, this person have gone, and but it's really important, and it's, I believe it's much more interesting, you know. It makes your story complicated, with different angles, and it shows much more about you. I believe it's much more interesting, you know, to speak about problems than successes.
But also I think that for a lot of people the ability to be like open-minded to different ways of getting the same goal. So like if your goal, like for me, my goal was I really loved design, so that's like a broad thing. And I realized through like experimenting and talking to different people and learning all these things in school that like I really like design that people interact with. And so for the longest time I had this idea that like the only way to be successful, the only way to do this thing is I wanted to be a graphic designer. And I realized that like that just wasn't it for me. And if I wasn't open-minded to like other things out there, I would have been kind of screwed and I'd be like holding on to something that wasn't right for me. And so like I guess in some way like I failed and I didn't become a graphic designer, but I'm so much happier because I'm open-minded to other things that I ended up liking so much more.
You know, I believe I feel you like totally, because my way, so now I am an iOS developer, but my way to iOS developing was so long and so different. My degree in economics and finance, I worked in this field less than a year to realize that I love my education. It was incredible to know to study the field of economics, because that's create a picture, like, you know, a picture of the world, the understanding of the world. But I don't want to work in this field. And I thought, okay, what could I do? And I always, you know, have this interest to marketing products, how people create products, and I found myself in marketing, And there I felt, okay, that's incredible. I know how the world works thanks to economy. I know how people think, choose products thanks to marketing. And when I work in marketing, I realize that, okay, I don't have any decision of mine. It's everything under marketing. I choose my phone, I choose my clothes, my makeup, like everything, even my lifestyle. It's everything thanks to marketing. So I was scary to know that, but it's really great. And while working there, I realized that, okay, that's a great stage, but what I want is to create, to create something by my hands, to make something visible every day. Because in the marketing, I work more as a manager, and it's a great role to be a manager, but it's really different. So the result of you as a manager is like a successful project in general. But you cannot say what you have done there. So your role is to manage, to make it like it, to have the result as a project. But I really wanted to do something with these hands every day and to see the result. And I started to thinking about IT because I always loved mathematics, logic, everything connected to it. And I was looking for any courses, so and like any way, to study it. And I found a great French school. The name is 42. It's the answer to all questions. So who knows knows. So and that was an incredible experience where I learned more about coding, about how computer works, everything. And I realized, okay, it's really, I'm close to what I really want. And when I came to Apple Developer Academy, it was really a great vetting of everything that I have ever learned, know in one place, because here I finally started creating projects. Like I always wanted to create projects. I always wanted to work with my hands, like doing something and see the result. And not to be just, a coder, but to be a developer in the sense that you create a product. So you don't create a piece of code, you create a product. And now I'm like, so like my way was so strange, maybe for someone difficult, but for me it was a line to really like a straight line to my dream and to understanding like what I really love. It's such a great satisfaction to hear because it's when you don't know what to do, it could be really frustrating. It could be really difficult because you're pushed by your family, society, Instagram to find yourself, to live happy life. And when you're lost, it's quite difficult. But when you find yourself after such a long way, you really understand that you are finally at the right place with the right people with the right time, and it's really great, when you are when you know who you are in this case. So and now I consider myself like as an iOS developer, but I always say developer, not like a coder, because what I love is to create a product, a developer product. In all senses, it's like not only about the line of codes, it's also about the result, how beautiful the result is, and design is part of it, because if you work with the Apple devices, it's everything about design, it's everything about like an incredible user experience, and their like I am so passionate about Apple and what they have done. So like all their products, like MacBook, iPhone, it's a great system, and the iPad and other. I just more often use MacBook and iPhone, and it's such a perfect new devices, and I feel so happy to work with them. And I also feel happy that whatever I do is married with this beautiful, incredible design, because it's just impossible to do ugly things if you work with the iPhone.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful review. It's impossible to do ugly things when you work with the iPhone. They should
It's just
quote you.
impossible. Yeah, it's just impossible because whatever you do there, it looks so great. Yep. And there, I really like for example, I really sorry, I'm a little lost. Yeah, I love to see great design. Thanks to my previous job in marketing, thanks to my experience in Apple Developer Academy, I believe in design even more than in a good code, because first is the design, then is the code behind it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because nobody wants your product if it doesn't look like in a nice way.
Yeah.
So.
Content, even if it's like exactly what the product needs, like it needs to be packaged in a way that it can be received. Otherwise, like they're not gonna understand your content and they're not, yeah, like if the contrast is too low and they can't read it, or like the flows don't make sense, like there's so much that goes into it. And I felt the exact same way when I found UX design. I found it through it was amazing. Like for the longest time I thought like I was in the world of print and logos and all this kind of stuff. And the entire time I was in college, I didn't admit this to anybody because I felt so guilty because the school was like so much of a financial commitment from my family, and I already put so much time into it. But by the time I was getting to my last couple of years of university, I realized that like something was missing. And I had this weird thing where I took a bunch of classes, and I had like all of these extra classes that I could teach myself. They were like independent classes. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to find these courses online, just like you did. And one was it was a company called Bring Your Own Laptop, and is this guy that does Adobe courses, but he had one just about the topic of UX design. And I remember sitting at this really, really small desk in Philadelphia in like this really rundown college house that I used to live in, and just having an epiphany where I was like, oh my God, this is the thing that's been missing. Like, these are all the things that I like. I like the logic of it. I like doing the research behind it, the copywriting, like all of these things that were interactive. You could, the metrics where you can like have all of these success things that tell you if this is successful or this is needs to be tweaked in order for people to actually use the product. So interactive and so cool. And so like when I hear you talk about it, I'm like, I felt the same way.
Absolutely. Like my favorite part about design is firstly UX.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, a genius created this. Like actually, is there any founder of UX design? If I don't, so I should Google if there is a name. I don't know how the concept of UX design was born, but I'm in love in this. Like everything you told about logic, metrics, like the research, I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. That's that actually I found out more about it at Apple Developer Academy, and I found out that and it was shocked for me to understand it finally, that this simplicity based on a lot of things. It's such a hard work of UX designers to create this logic for you that it seems it's so easy. Like, so easy. Why? Like, but it's easy because it's a lot of work behind it. And that's I believe it's a great outcome of UX design. If users think about your about you know the experience, it's so easy to use. That's like the best outcome. But it's so clear that you don't have any questions. And this way I was impressed when I got my first Apple device. It was iPad. Oh no, it was our iPod. Okay, iPod, let's forget iPod. So my first iPad, I was impressed that I don't need instructions to use it.
Really?
Like, I was impressed because usually when you buy any device, like a video camera, whatever, like, I don't know, even stereo, whatever, there's always, instruction that you never read, but you have it. And when I remember when I opened my first iPad, I looked at it and I was shocked that there is no instruction and you don't need it.
Wow.
Even my grandmother, she didn't have her like any devices before, but we bought her iPhone and she understood how to use it.
Wow.
And that means a lot, thanks to UX designers.
Yeah, UX designers, researchers, and then developers that can actually like make that real. 'Cause I can't take my designs out of Figma, but they can.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, but yep. Actually, I believe we again touch a great important thing
Yeah.
that what we always forget when we think about projects that to have a great project is collaboration between designers and developers. Like
Yeah.
it's like we cannot exist without designers. You cannot exist without us, and this should be really a great collaboration. Otherwise, like, well, we lost because we don't know what to do. You don't know how to implement the idea.
Absolutely. There's a course that I'm planning on taking next month, and the goal of it is to like make you as strong in Figma as possible and become your developer's favorite designer. And I'm so excited for it. Like that's how the like everything about handoff is geared towards the developers, like having a components library just for them and like the proper way to do documentation and things like that. Like you have to put yourself in this other person's shoes because otherwise they might
Yeah.
get lost or it might not make sense and it'll be really frustrating.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's it's so great that you're still learning something. Wow. I mean, I as a person with the values of education, I always believe that it's a great way, to learn, especially what you need. In your
Yeah.
case, like it's working with the Figma, it's in the way that developers would love. I believe it would be a really great experience for you, and developers will love you because that's we sometimes don't understand each other, and if you give a developer tool with everything, like I don't know, documentation, components, colors, fonts,
Yeah.
it's really. It would be really great, and especially with the cases. What? Because sorry, it's a pain.
Yeah.
Especially with the cases when something goes wrong. What should I do? Like for example,
Yeah.
if I don't know if the table is empty, what should I show the users? And I am sad. I'm very sad and sometimes angry when the designers forget about such, cases when there is a mistake, error, whatever, and you come and say, but what if? What if the name is longer? What if the name is shorter? How to put it? You should think about it, not me. So,
Absolutely.
yep.
The
Yep.
thing that I learned the most about the job that I'm in right now is planning for happy paths and unhappy paths. And if you hit a ha unhappy path, like how do they fix it in order to get back into that happy path and then accomplish what they're trying to do?
And that's one, Emily, it's like the most important part, because as their developers, we always know, we always think about cases. Okay, what if else? And and that's sometimes I miss from designers when they show me only one way, and I say, but where is other options? Because I know that everything can be wrong, and they're here, and this moment. And what if the name is longer than you put space, like you place it here, but it's a short version. Think about longer ones. So yeah, but it's incredibly great when your designers think that way.
I
Like as a
think.
developer, I can say,
No, keep going. As a developer.
As a developer, I believe it's like the best designer you can like work with, if your designer also thinks in these scenarios, like that he or she thinks, okay, what can be wrong here? What will I see as a user if something goes wrong? Because it should be like actually almost like at every moment of usage, something could be wrong.
Absolutely.
So, like you cannot cover everything, but at
That's
least try to think about it, because bugs will happen. We have to accept it. Bugs will happen.
absolutely. And things that you don't expect to go wrong sometimes and often will go wrong. And so you just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, you never know what will go wrong, but something will go wrong. So, yeah. Wow, it's incredible.
It's really interesting. And sometimes when I talk to people about like I love making friends with people who are in our little world. Like I love making friends with designers and developers and product people and people who work in like copywriting and the proper way to phrase something. Like it's so easy to make friends with people in that world because I think that they're just like really open-minded and they often put themselves in other people's shoes. Like they often think about things from other people's perspectives. And so when I like talk with my family or I talk with my friends from back home that aren't from that world, and I say, yeah, like when I go to a new place, I go on LinkedIn and I try to find somebody from my career world, and then I just get along with them every time I meet somebody, and it's just so easy. I think that's why.
It's a great perspective, but yep, I mean, yep, it's interesting. And I think I need a course, if it exists, how to be a great developer for designers, like what they need from us. So we also need a course, like how to communicate with designers, what should we say them? Wow, I need to look for the course like this. Because I know that I'm not perfect, and I really passionate about improving the skills and to be like a great professional. And they're like, wow, I want to look for a course like this. Maybe it is. If not, I will create
I
it.
try not to get on myself, like I try to not get down on myself too much about that kind of stuff. I had a project that I my first project at my current job. I look back on those Figma designs and I pity my poor engineer who had to design based off of them because like I'm so much better now and I feel bad that like those were the designs that he was working with and he was so patient with me and he was so kind and like I even have gotten to the point where I was like those like those designs aren't as good as what I do now, and the documentation was like barely there. I just really appreciate you not getting mad at me. And he's like, it's okay. Like you can't like progress without doing things wrong, and you can't like
Yep.
learn without living, but I appreciate him.
And you know, I believe that moment of time, you did your best. That was your best
Yeah.
that time. And you did that way with that quality of Figma documentation because that's the only way you knew how to do it. And that's like, but you understand that, wow, that was so bad. Even I don't believe in it, but it was bad. So, but no matter. So, you see your progress only this way, because if you know if you could do better, you would do better, but you
Yeah.
couldn't. So,
That's
like,
I hear that often with like you do the best with what you have, or like even with decision making, like I made the best decision with the information I had at the time. That is such a like good way of just giving yourself a little bit of grace. Like I just did the best with what I had.
Absolutely. It was so difficult to accept this concept because I really suffer from perfectionism. Like I believe that you have to be perfect, and I really, the worst critic for myself, and I always say like, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. And only this concept helped me, to change a little bit my attitude to my work when I say, okay, that is the best what I can do. If I could do better, I would do it. Like I'm not, the person who would be lazy or so. I know that that's the quality of what I'm able to do now, and it's really helpful, this concept. So if this concept helps anyone, take it and use it, because otherwise you can, maybe this will stop you from doing, you quit just because you think you're not perfect. And believe me, if you quit, you will never see the progress. That's like, if you quit, it's the end for you.
Absolutely. It's kind of a gift to look back on your old things from earlier in your career or younger in your life and cringe, because you're like, well, that's because I'm so much better now. If I still thought that that was amazing now, and it's been years and I've put so much work into it, like I wouldn't have progressed.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's why I keep my older projects on GitHub. Should I explain what's GitHub? No,
Oh yeah, some people might
GitHub.
not understand, so go for it. Yeah.
GitHub is like a website where developers keep their projects, so everyone can Google it and find files. It's like Behance for developers, so you keep your products there, and you can see other projects in open source code, and so it's a platform for developers, and I keep my old projects, my first project there, just to have some fun when I open and see like the quality of code that I have that days. And I feel that like I know that now it's much better. That's incredible, because if you look just on the same screen every day, you don't see the progress, because it's just every day a little bit, it's even like less than a little bit, and you don't see the picture in general. Only if you like go back, open your old projects, open the one that you have today, and you will see it. And that's why I really love, it's also one of the reasons why I love agile methodology, because you like every two, in general, 2 weeks, you can see the progress. Like
Really?
Yeah, because the whole agile methodology is about creating a new increment to the project that you have, and it's incredible that when you compare like what you have at the beginning of your sprint and at the end of it, you see that wow, I created something else. So, and just step by step, you have a product, and there. For me, seeing the result, it's so important. It's my satisfaction, when I feel really depressed and unsatisfied with my job is if I don't feel the result, like when I cannot see and open it and feel it. And this really helped me also to see, the progress when some small changes are added, and it's already product, it's already a feature, it's already something. So progress is really great thing to reflect, to think, to notice. It's really great.
Do you think that you are a like accomplishment motivated person? Like, I have this goal, this is what I want to achieve, and that's what gets
Good
me through
question.
it.
Okay, let's discuss it. I don't have an answer. Let's try to understand together. I even don't find right words, because I don't have an answer to read. I know that I like to do something, let's see. So I like to act instead of waiting. And it's interesting that when the project is finished, I feel empty inside usually.
Really?
So yeah, like wow, that's the end, that's all. So I'm lost to answer to this question, because I like appreciation of others. That's true. So I need that someone say me, "Oh, great job, well done." So that's true. I need it, and I believe also my motivation is that the work that I'm doing makes sense. Like when I know that the job that like project when I what I'm which I'm working on is useless, my motivation is zero. I'm not able even to start my because my procrastination is so high at this moment. And it's okay if after the project is done, there is something, I don't know, goes wrong, and you understand that like the job you have done is useless, so you should change. That's okay. That's life. That's process. But when you should start doing something and you already feel that it's useless, that's a problem for me. Like
Interesting.
that's anti-motivation. So yep. I would say like my motivations is let's say sense of this project, of work, and appreciation of others people. Like I need to hear this from other. Oh, that's great.
And I'm sure that could come in like a d bunch of different ways. That could be from your manager being like, "Oh, great, like everything's looking exactly how it is in the Figma." The designer is saying, "Oh, I really appreciate this." Or maybe even like the metrics of this task that you've made, people actually being able to complete it successfully and maybe signups going up or the task being completed. That it could come in a bunch of different ways.
Yep. Like it could be whatever, but I need the others or people feedback. So it could be users, designers, managers. Like that's part of work for me. And Sorry, I forgot. I
It's
wanted to add
okay.
something, but then forgot.
Was that a similar motivation for you in your earlier career in school?
Actually, I believe. Yep. I think, I always hated doing something without, passion, without motivation. Like, if there is no love, there is nothing, no place for me, like, I should really, I before s starting, oh, okay, I remember what I wanted to say. No, before starting doing something, I always, first of all, ask a lot of questions. Like, I need to understand why. Okay, let's imagine like a working situation. So, like, I need to understand why my manager needs this. What is the motivation? What it for? So, first of all, I should understand the goal of it. What's going on before, starting to work on it. Let's imagine like a feature. So, I need to understand the motivation behind it. Why I'm doing this. I need to, it needs to be very clear. So, like, any moment you'll wake me up and I will say, I'm doing this because it's needed, the user wants it, so whatever. Otherwise, I even cannot, start doing it. And it's the same it was at school. I always had an answer why I'm doing it, reading this, and about appreciation of other. I also think it's like it was quite typical for me, and I think it's it's like a benchmark or I don't know milestone for me that I'm going in the right direction, that when I hear that, oh, that's great, right? It's for me, it's a signal that okay, what I'm doing, how I got it's right. So because otherwise, it could be again useless work because you're working on something, you don't have feedback, you don't understand whether you fit or you're just doing something that you have in your mind because. It's when you work with other people, it's really difficult to get. But when you work with other people, you should be very careful with other people and their perception because what they have in their heads, it could be absolutely different what you got. So, and without feedback, you could be always, going in there. In your own roads, like you never meet because perception, understanding, it's only in our hands, in our heads, and we can be really far from each other. So maybe that's why like other feedback was so important.
Absolutely. And it gives you like an under a sense of like reassurance that the direction that I'm going is correct, and I'm understanding you. 'Cause I can imagine it can be really frustrating when you think that you know what this person needs, and then you put time and effort and like, I don't know, sweat into this only to realize you went the wrong place, but you do your next project, you're gonna feel a little unstable. Like, am I even going in the right direction? Does this have meaning? Am I gonna have to just undo all of this anyway?
I will try to explain you a phrase that I have in my mind every time. It's in my own language because maybe it's in English, it will sound strange. So I will try. Tell me if it's not clear, please. We in our language call people who are a little bit, lost in understanding, or we call them astronauts. So people
Astronauts.
staying, you know, flying in a spaceship, so they're a bit lost. So they don't understand what's going on, like here, you know. And I have a phrase that, like, if you think that everyone is an astronaut, sorry, my pronunciation is awful with this world word, check that you are not that person, because maybe you don't understand what's going on and you think that everyone is just in a spaceship, but maybe you are there, you know. That's it's all this should be like a reality check, like
Absolutely.
this is like appreciation and feedback. This feedback is for me, so the way to understand that, okay, I'm on the same ground with the same people. We are not flying in a spaceship. So that's my way to think about it.
I like that if you think everybody else is an astronaut, maybe you should check if you are.
Yes. Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. I'm trying to think if like
I
I have any
created
sim Oh.
it.
I love that. Oh, that's I don't
Yep.
know. I'm just sinking that in a little bit. But yeah, there's definitely times where people say something to me, and like when I was early in my career, I was so scared of seeming too needy, or I was so scared of like people finding out that I didn't know anything, that like when I was 20, I would just nod, and then my boss would leave, and I would be sitting there, I'm like, I have absolutely no idea what to do. Like, I didn't understand anything that he was saying. And then I would do it wrong. And he's like, Emily, you should just ask. Like, you got to stop, like, people pleasing in the moment, because you're not actually going to give them what they want. And so I started, like, mimicking people where they would tell me something. And then I would say, okay, so this is what I'm understanding. And I would just repeat exactly, like, what I think that they need. And then it was just so beautiful. Like, they could say, Emily, that's absolutely not what we wanted. Or, yeah, that's exactly what we wanted you to do. I'm glad that you were able to process it and give it back to us.
It's a great technique. It's a great technique. Actually, just I heard about it 3 days ago.
Really?
Can you imagine? Yeah, that like if you want to understand that like other people got you, ask them to repeat how, like, to explain what they understood. Like, so it's a wow, it's a great technique. I have never used it, so because I heard about it 3 days ago, but I will try and send you my feedback about it, how it works. But you know it works for you.
I noticed that sometimes it helps in relationships too, because you might be
Wow.
feeling friction about something, or feeling like you're trying to explain something to somebody and they're just not understanding it, and they're like upset or annoyed or things like that. And I'm like, this thing should not be upsetting you. I don't understand what is going on. And then you could get to a point where you go, how about you explain to me what you think I'm saying? And then they explain it and you're like, okay, that is not what I meant at all. Or like, we have a
Oh.
major miscommunication that this would have like gone on for another couple days if like we hadn't. Like, I haven't asked you to explain to me what you're hearing.
Oh, yep. Right. I love it. I have never thought that it's also could be good for a relationship. We'll check. I will check. That's nice.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, because I was really curious about this one part from you growing
Okay.
up, was you and I had a pretty similar point in our lives where you're at the end of school, or you graduate and you're in your first couple of years of school, and you spent all of this time, all of this effort, you're studying into something, and then you think, maybe this isn't what I want to do for my career. Maybe this isn't what I want to do every day. It's so easy to just like ignore that feeling and just keep on going and not want to tell anybody because you put so much time and effort into it. But I wanted to ask you about what that was like for you. Like, who do you talk to? Like, what was that experience like?
Emily, thanks for asking. It was so many years ago that I
Yeah.
absolutely forgot how scary it was, how
Yeah.
awful it was, and how I'm thankful to myself
Yeah.
to be so brave, even if I don't consider myself as a brave person. So, first of all, I never regret about this decision that I decided not to work in the field where I got my education. Maybe my family regrets, but I don't care. So it's a great reflection point here. It was very scary, very, very scary. Like it was frightening. It was sort I when I like start working as an economist, I realized that my education was great. I love what I studied. I never regret about it. I never regret that I chose economics as my major, finance as my master. I am proud of knowing this stuff. It was a great subject to know, and it's a great background for a person because any education, why I'm so about education, because any education create a vision of the world where you live. If you have a background in physics, you think about the world as how it works in terms of I don't know electricity or how planes flies. I, as an economist, I think about the world as like countries, business, politics, so about markets, and that's why I have never regret about my education. And when I started working, I realized that if I continue working here, I will be general and happy, but I will lie to myself that I enjoy doing it, that I want to do it, because I realize the whole world is not for me. This financial world is it's for men in suits who are very toxic, very with their ambitions to show how strong they are. It's a world that doesn't suit me. And I'm not able to do it. I am not the person who is able to do it, to work in this field, because to work in the financial world, you have to be very particular person. If you know anyone who works in this sphere, they are very different. I mean, from developers, designers, and actually my boyfriend works in this field, and skills that he has, I don't have them at all. He's able to convince people, he's able to negotiate, he's able to be very tough, and I am absolutely different in this way. I like to find a compromise, it's much easier to find compromise between designers and developers than there. And I understood that it's now time to change, it will be much more painful and much more difficult to change after. And any of my friends who studied with me, my other, former classmates, they, even if they didn't like, they never have changed it. So they still working there after so many years. They have been working in finance, even if they don't like it.
Really?
Because they don't know what to do, and the more you invest, the more difficult to change. So, you invest your time, your skills, and then it's really difficult to invest. And this is a huge mistake. It's even has like a name, It's a huge mistake of our brain when we think that if we invest a lot, we cannot quit. And the people, they make this mistake, they continue investing and they lose even more. So, and I was at that moment, I realized I can invest more in finance in general. So I spent 6 years at university. I worked 1 year in finance, so 7 years, but I'm still young. So I was, I don't know, 22 or 22, let's say, maybe 23. So, and I was young, I had an amazing education, and this always would be my background. Nothing would change. I will still with a great education behind me. So, and I need to change now. And it was very difficult, thanks to my boyfriend, because he supported me a lot. He always supported me, whatever I do. And thanks to him, because he supported me that time, and he told me, it's great that you know that. It's great that you are so brave to say it, that something wrong with you, that it's wrong with the place, with the sphere. It's brave that you are able to do it. It's even braver if you decide to change. It will be difficult, and it was incredibly difficult because you come to a sphere where you are zero and you just have your passion, your motivation. And it seemed it was enough. So
That's so sweet.
don't cry. Don't cry. What's going on?
It's so nice to hear that.
Won't cry.
Sorry.
Yep.
That's so kind of him to tell you that this is a gift that like not to give up on yourself and to keep on moving. That's amazing.
I'm thankful in this life to my boyfriend because he's like the most supporting person I have ever met, and he supported me a lot on that way. And it was so scary, but when I have any doubts, he always told me, but would you like to be on my place? Would you like to work in this sphere? Can you imagine yourself doing this? And I always said, no. When it was hard, I always thought, I know it's hard. I know that I don't know, I earn not as much as my friends and my former colleagues. I know that, but at the same time, I know that I was not able to do it, so I wouldn't end up there. I wouldn't reach their places if I stayed there, because I didn't have this I don't know, inner motivation, inner anything inside to continue working in this sphere. My family didn't support me at all. It was so painful, honestly, when you don't have support from your family. And now, when I'm much older and wiser a little bit, I understand that they were just scary. It's not because they don't love me. They're just scary because they are afraid that something will be wrong with you, and you will be, I don't know, lost, unemployed, and something They're just afraid, and their reaction is, I believe, is just fear that they have. So, I believe that it's important to change something in your life. Actually, this something should be what you don't like, and if you want to change your career, your sphere, you should do it. If you ask me, you have to do it, because without passion, life and motivation, life is just a burden. So it's hard, and but you also have to understand that it will be difficult. And if you have at least one person who supports you, that's enough.
Even if that person's just you.
You will do it. You will do it. I have met a lot of people who changed their career, and I have never met people who did it and regret. So, and now they don't have any regrets. They are all thankful to themselves that they were brave enough to do it.
Absolutely. I heard from somebody a while ago that they said this about relationships, but I think that it happens to like any situation in general, where this one person said, "Hey, like the only thing that's worse than being in a bad relationship for 100 years is being in a bad relationship for 100 years in one day. Like that's the only thing that's worse." And so
That's true.
the idea that like this is your life, or the idea that like you're stuck here, there are very, very few situations where that's actually true. And I don't know, like I don't know if I told you this when you and I first met, but like I think part of the reason I got emotional when you were telling me that was I was in like a really rough spot like 6 months before you and I met, where I was in a job that I didn't like, and I was also in a relationship that wasn't for me, and it was like a long relationship. And I really didn't want to admit that like I was really unhappy in all these different aspects of my life. And then I also had this idea that like where else would I go? I was kind of also told that like where else would you go? Like you're not really gonna find somebody and things like that. And I just felt really, really trapped. I like had like dreams about like winning the lottery and like being able to go anywhere I want and like having all of this freedom and stuff. And then after a while, I just woke up, kind of like what you did about traveling. I woke up and I was just like, I am 23 years old. Like, I do not, this doesn't have to be my life for the rest of my life. And so I quit my job, and I ended my relationship, and I just like woke up one day, and I was in this city that I didn't particularly have an interest in, or I didn't have anything that was keeping me there. And I was just really like directionless for like 6 months. And it taught me so much about like having my own identity and figuring things out. And the fact that like other than maybe like your relationship with your kids and your relationship with your parents, like you're not really stuck anywhere with a job or a person or anything like that. And it just like taught me so much. And that's pretty much that's who I was right up until the time that you came into my life. But yeah, it taught me a lot. So I try to keep that in my mind, and I try not to lose that so I don't have to ever feel that same way again.
What I can say that as a, like I am the person who experienced all these feelings, what I can say that everyone has to know that it will go away one day. It will go away, because when we are stuck, when we feel that it will be forever like this, that it will not be. So it's definitely it will be the end of it, because if you are not satisfied today, it means that you already know it. You already know the half of the problem. Like when people pretend that everything is great, and when they say that, oh, it's okay, I will do it, I will continue living this way, working at this place, that's it's the problem. And they lie to themselves, because here you cannot do nothing. Like, when you already know that something is wrong, not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you will change it. You know, from this point, you don't know how to change it, and it seems that everything is just useless. There's no way to, like, no reason to wake up in the morning. And it's really hard feeling, but you will change it. You don't know when, how, but your life will change it. And in 6 months, you will sitting in front of somebody recording a podcast, and you will realize, like, wow, my life has changed so much. Just like, I cannot imagine that just 6 years, 6 months ago, I was in that circumstances. I felt that way. I wanted such things, and now, after 6 months, it's already different. So we should support people. We should be kind to others, because we should support them and help them, and always be care, because you never know with the person you are talking with how they feel about, and like, it's the only right, way is to be nice, because you never know what other people struggling, what how is life today. So
Was that
it
an
is.
isolating experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's absolutely, when it's hard, it's hard. You
Yeah.
know, you don't want to share, you don't want to you don't want, in general, you don't want anything. And of course, you're just keep your side in a dark place, and so it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. And but what I always say myself and other, they end up in this situation, that it will go away. Like, it
Yeah.
will go away, because time, time is a magic, because time really goes anywhere. You're stuck, you're unhappy, time flies, and situations just changes, in some time. So
We just hit 2 hours and it doesn't feel like it at all. How does
absolutely, I feel like we
that
started maybe like 10 minutes ago. Yep. Like,
feel?
I haven't felt them at all. I feel like I haven't said anything, important. Like, I have so many things to share, to tell you, and to hear from you, because I think I told a lot about myself, but I'm still curious to know more about you. So I hope that we will meet one day in person and have a nice conversation, like, not through camera, but in person.
I would absolutely love that. I had one more question though for you
Okay.
that I've been saving up and I think it's like a really nice note to end on. So the version of you when you were 13 and you were having these feelings of I feel like my future's kind of decided for me. And people are telling me that the things that I want to do in life that is not necessarily possible. And then the you today, who you've gone not through like I don't know how to describe it. You've gone through periods of time where I thought this was going to be my life, and then life redirected me here, and then I thought this is going to be my life, and then life redirected me again, and I'm here now, and I'm so happy, and I'm fulfilled, and this is where I've wanted to be. The version that I see now, is there anything that you would say to that 13-year-old version of you that has no idea the version of you now would ever happen?
I would hug that girl and say her very, very warm that everything will be great.
Yeah.
Like, trust yourself. Don't listen anyone. Trust yourself. Believe in yourself. Like, always choose the road the way that you want. Don't listen anyone. Don't try to be, convenient for others. Like, and it's okay if something doesn't work after first time. It's okay if you need another change. It's everything is okay. It's not okay only to lie to yourself. It's not okay to quit. It's not okay to give up. And I would say that I love you, my girl. You are the only one that I have. So I have only you. And we will be together forever. You and I.
I love that answer. Oh my God. I have not been this emotional in podcasts before. I think it's just like I relate to you so much, even though we had totally different childhoods, but like some things are just so universal. And it's just been so nice to talk to you today. I'm sorry.
You make me emotional. Sure, I was so happy to hear you today, and I enjoy it so much. So you are an amazing person, and I'm happy to know you.
Well, thank you. And I just hope this is goodbye until next time. And next time I see you, maybe like I'll ping you on Telegram and say, "Hey, do you want to do another podcast? I miss talking." Or like maybe I'll be in Italy or wherever you are and say, "Hey, can I come over? Do you want to go for
Yep,
coffee or
it will be,
pizza?"
yep, pizza, pasta, yep, absolutely. I wish to meet you as soon as we can. So
Absolutely.
you anywhere, online, Italy, Amsterdam, the USA, whenever.
Yeah, Montenegro maybe.
Yep. Because life is full of surprises. Life is full of surprises. We never, like, we can think one way, life will change everything. So.
I used to be told that growing up that like people plan and God laughs.
Yep, absolutely.
Like
Absolutely.
you can try it and then it'll just be whatever it'll be, and then you'll just
Yeah.
see it when you get there.
Absolutely, because 2 years ago, I had no idea that I would have been living in Italy. So it was just 2 years ago. So, and I thought, okay, I don't know, I will live in Moscow. And then just in 4 months, I moved here. So,
That's
and
amazing.
yep. So life is full of surprises. Let's see how many of them we have to, open.
Between now and the next episode that we do together, I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this has been lovely, and goodbye until next time.